Hello, and welcome to episode 23 of Cavalytics. We are a podcast about the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers with a focus on statistical analysis. I am Keith Carter, a longtime Cavs fan, in therapy to try to be more positive about Cleveland sports. My co-host is Arnav Chabra, a PhD candidate at MIT who should probably get a Congressional Medal of Freedom for his patience when explaining NBA stats to the unenlightened on Reddit. How's it going, Arnav?
It's going well. How about you?
Not bad. The Cavs just beat the Hawks 100-99, and they are moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals. But before we dig into the game, our podcast is hosted on SoundCloud and is available on iTunes or whatever your favorite podcasting app is. You can follow us on Twitter at CavalyticsNBA, and you can email us at CavalyticsNBA@gmail.com. Feel free to contact us liberally. I feel like I'm almost begging now at the beginning of all of our shows. We enjoy hearing from our listeners, and if someone asks a question that we think makes an interesting podcast topic, we'll address it on the show. All right, now that's out of the way, let's get into tonight's game. So I'm glad it's over. That's, I guess, the short of it. Do you think that, well, okay, so the Cavs won 100-99. It was way too close, I guess, for comfort. The Cavs were pretty lackadaisical. They were down by, I think, a series-high 12 in the first half.
And even in the first quarter, right?
Yeah. I'm looking at the chart here. I think their biggest, they were trailing the most in at the beginning of the second. They were down 12. Yeah, they didn't look good, but they sort of whittled it away. And then it looked like they were going to pull away in the fourth, but they let Atlanta get back into it. And it was sort of back and forth until the Cavs finally pulled away. You have any thoughts?
Yeah, I wasn't too happy with that last minute of play, especially offensively for the Cavs. But that said, there were a couple open threes 2 minutes before that. Mm-hmm. Which I think Love missed one and then Fry missed one. And if the Cavs had made those, I think the game, we wouldn't have even gotten to the position where it was, you know, a 3-point game and a 1-point game.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't remember the specifics of the penultimate minute two down to minute one. I do remember the two threes you're talking about. They were both good open threes. And with the way the Cavs have been shooting this series, even tonight, they were 16 of 37 for 43% from three. You would sort of, I mean, the expected value is that one of those, at least one of those would go in. So it wasn't, yeah, so that minute wasn't bad. The last minute was a little bit
iffy.
Yeah, a little bit iffy. In particular, LeBron took a shot with, I want to say maybe 15 seconds left. Maybe there were 12 seconds left. And it was a deep three, and he bricked it badly. And it was a long rebound, so Atlanta got sort of a bit of a break coming back the other direction. LeBron, of course, made an incredible defensive play coming back the other direction. They had the Hawks had Dennis Schroeder drive, and LeBron wrapped him up, and they got a jump ball, and then LeBron sort of was able to tap the jump ball to run out the rest of the clock. But yeah, that three in particular was pretty frustrating.
Yeah, I agree. I think the frustrating part was that he took a while. So this kind of happened at the end of the Raptors game as well, the Raptors Heat game,
yeah,
where they had about 10 seconds or whatever left on the shot clock, and the guy just slowly walks the ball up. My issue is that don't walk it so slowly. I mean, I know you want the whole shot clock to yourself, but at least get there quickly so you have time to dribble around someone or try time to just gain some separation. So by the time LeBron took the shot, he had maybe like 3 seconds on the shot clock or something, and then he just had to hoist it from 4 feet out. But yeah, if he had dribbled it up faster, he would have been closer to the 3-point line or even inside the paint, which obviously is a higher percentage shot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm conceptually okay with LeBron dribbling the ball out to get as much time off the clock as possible, but I am not conceptually okay with him putting up a deep three. There are a lot of people on the Cavs who are much better equipped to do that. Kyrie Irving comes to mind, as well as basically anyone else. Kevin Love would be better. J.R. Smith would be better. Channing Frye would be better. Della Vadova would be better.
Actually, I take LeBron over Kevin because LeBron is a higher release, so it can't get blocked. That's
well, that's a fair point.
Because with that type of contest, like you have to get it off, and the Delhi and specifically Love have kind of slow releases, so I think they'd have a hard time even getting the shot off.
Yeah, and I don't trust Kevin Love, for example, to ball handle for that sort of 12 seconds
Right,
where the
I think
other guy
Kyrie
is.
is the best option, and even JR is a better option, I would say.
Right, so there was time to get it to either of those two guys. He just didn't do it. Anyway, look, we're railing on him a little bit here. In the post-game interview, LeBron himself said that he thought it was a bad shot, so he knows his error. But yeah, it would be nice to see the Cavs use these sort of rare instances where it's close and late to figure out a more efficient offense.
And you use a screen, right? It doesn't need to be one-on-one with the guy. Have
Right.
set a couple of screens, use a moving screen. No one's going to call a moving screen in that situation. Just get open and then take the shot instead of with the guy in your face.
Yeah. I mean, it's
Such a
easy
low
for us to
point.
say. I mean, it is high pressure there. I mean, they're in
Right.
Atlanta. Everyone's going insane. Like, your risk tolerance gets to, like, sort of an all-time low there. And it happens fast, right? Like, they don't get to sit here. We can sit here in arrears and, like, complain about it. But even given all that, LeBron's been in this situation enough that he knows better. And he does know better. He said it in the post-game
Yeah,
interview.
but I mean, good for him. He made a nice play at the other end, so.
He did. Yeah, he quickly came down and made up for it. Yeah, that last play was a little bit scary. So the Hawks, after LeBron's missed three, did not have a timeout, so they had to sort of run it down. And Dennis Schröder had been sort of carving up both Irving, and then they eventually switched Dellavedova on him, but Dellavedova didn't do much better. And Dennis Schröder drove, and LeBron somehow was able to wrap him up and get a jump ball. It was an incredible play. And then the jump ball, LeBron won, but Millsap and JR sort of got tangled up a little bit trying to get the ball, and Millsap ended up with it and put up a three, which turned out to be a tenth of a second after the time it expired, but that wasn't clear at the time, and the three almost went in.
It was close, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was some sort of white knuckling there, but the Cavs, they won. They won a close one, and they move on now. And I think they get. I'm not sure if the conference finals have a determined start date. I know the NBA finals have a determined start date, but I think the Cavs get up to 8 days off here.
So it depends on the how long the Raptors Heat series goes. So if they finish out in five, it'll be like a day or two after that series, the end of that series. But if they go up to six or seven, it's going to be a full week or 8 days, like you said.
Okay. Yeah, and the Raptors are currently up 2-1 in that series, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
they won last night.
I expect that to probably go.
Six, seven.
I think the Heat will win a game. I think they'll win one of the next two
Yeah, I
games.
think it'll be six games at least.
Yeah. So the Cavs are going to get a nice long rest here.
So just some news on that end. So Jonas Valanciunas is out for that series. He got injured yesterday, had an ankle sprain,
Yeah.
and then Hassan Whiteside also has a knee sprain, and he's day to day, and he's probably not expected back for the series. So if either of those teams make it to the conference finals, Cavs are going to be facing one of them without their starting center, most likely.
Yeah, I'm not sure. The way that the Raptors press release about Valanciunas came out implied that I think he might be back for the conference finals, but it was
It's a grade one
ambiguous.
sprain, so it's going to be like 2 weeks, I would imagine, before
Yeah.
they even.
It was
And
ambiguous.
Hassan is actually going up for free agency, so he does not have any incentive to play hurt.
Well, maybe he likes to win playoff games. But yeah,
I mean, okay, so he's
if
making
his
800,000 right now, and
Right.
his max is 20 something million. You can
Right.
imagine the incentive there, right?
Yes. His primary incentive is money, and he should probably play this safe. Especially since he's sort of played well and gotten some good PR. But yeah, I mean, Whiteside is sort of an enigma anyway, but it would definitely be better for the Cavs if they don't have to deal with him.
He's just an odd matchup. It's not that I'm not even sure he makes him that much better. I know he makes him better, but he's just an unusual matchup, just like Drummond, you know?
Yeah, I was
And
going to say
kind of the
he's
size
exactly like
problem.
Andre Drummond. They're sort of like enigmatic, like beastly players, but their actual contribution is a little bit hard to quantify. Like RPM doesn't really like either of them. And so,
But he still has them as positives.
right. Yeah, but they're slight positives, right? They're not, I mean Drummond was an all-star. And Whiteside, I think, led the NBA in blocks. So, yeah, it's They're not as good as their sort of superficial stats might imply.
Especially since we don't have Mozgov and he's not good anymore. Like, we just don't have the size to counter them, and Tristan's just too short, you know?
Right. Yeah, I agree with that.
I thought he did an excellent job in the Piston series, but it's just, again, like, Drummond is just an athletic beast, and same with Hassan.
Do you have any concern about the foul trouble that Tristan has found himself in the last two games?
No, I think, yeah, I mean, has it been a problem for him before? Not really, right?
I don't think so, no. I mean, he hasn't been a starter until the last two games of the regular season and, the first eight of the playoffs. And so,
He started last playoffs too when Love went
he
down.
did. He did. No, I mean, these aren't the first games he's ever started in his career, but his style, you can imagine, has some variance in terms of like how many fouls get called against him. I don't think he's a particularly sloppy or like foul prone player, but he's constantly getting into it underneath the basket, and that can lead to situations where he gets, sort of two unlucky early foul calls. And the Cavs give up a lot on in
When he
rebounding,
goes
but
away on defense too. The
Do you want
problem
to
is,
talk a little bit about sort of how the fourth quarter went while Tristan was out?
yeah, so basically we didn't have any rim protection or even anything close to that. Like, Love is going to give you decent post defense, but it's not going to give you any rim protection. So if this was a final
Neither is
series,
Channing Frye, by the way.
Channing Frye is not quick enough on his feet either, right?
Right.
That's the problem. He has the length to bother people, but he doesn't have the quickness, the lateral quickness that you need, that Tristan definitely has. And he can't jump as high either, so I think if this were like a playoff, like a finals playoff series or something, what we would do is switch everyone around so that LeBron is the guy closest to the rim. So at any help, LeBron's going to be the one coming there, because he's athletic enough to block people and athletic enough to deter them from shots at the rim.
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought that the way that Dennis Schroeder was sort of, wearing a groove in the paint, getting layups in the fourth was a little bit concerning. But
It's going to happen when Tristan's not in there. I can tell you
yeah,
that.
I mean, Tyronn Lue made an interesting call tonight, which was he intentionally Tristan was not in foul quarter in the, foul trouble in the second half. And so he, I think, made sort of like a conscious decision to run with the Love and Frye lineup and, try and
It wasn't
manufacture some
bad.
offense that way.
Frye got a three, and then he got another open three, which he bricked, but he didn't make a three right before that, so.
Yeah, I remember that series. If that second three would have been in, that would have gone in, that would have
And it
been
was wide
nice.
open too. It's not, there was nobody around him at
It
all.
was, they ran the same play twice in a row, which was to get Channing Frye an open right corner three, and,
Yeah, I
well,
think the variance
one for
caught up with
two.
us at the end.
Yeah.
But it's good to pull out even when you go cold from three. That's kind of what was missing from the series, you know? I don't think there's been any quarter where Cavs have been cold in the series. So it was nice to see them go cold for a little bit and still pull out a victory.
Right. Yeah, they were 16 of 37 tonight.
And they missed everything except for 1 3 in the last quarter. Because they went 50, they had 15 threes by the end of three quarters.
Interesting. Right,
And
that's
they've
right,
been very
because
consistent. They had 5 in the first, 10 in the second, and then 15 by the end of the third.
Right. And we're of course paying attention to this because we made the gentleman's bet in the last game. I think you put the over under at 14. So yeah, you were aware as
So
soon as they
close.
got to 15.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is nice to see the Cavs like continuing to play this sort of drive and dish style. I mean, it's working spectacularly. It'll be interesting to see how it works against another team.
It wasn't even all drive and dish, to be honest with you. A lot of them were just pick and pops with Kevin Love. So they were
True.
trapping LeBron and Kyrie on those pick and rolls. And Love would just easily pop out to the corner three. And LeBron is good enough to pass over people. So he passed right out to the corner. And Love got a bunch of like three or four open threes in a row, and he made all of them.
Right. Yeah, that stretch in the third was impressive. It was sort of a bummer. So Kevin Love tied his career high in threes made. He was 8 of 15 from three tonight. I think I saw a tweet that the most threes Love had ever taken in a game before the playoffs was 12. And he had 50, he took 15 tonight. He had another game where he took 12. So he's had
Last game,
two
yeah.
games of 12 plus in the last two games, and his previous career high was 12. So And make no mistake, he took some inside shots too. He led everybody on both teams in shots tonight. He took 25 shots, and he was awful inside the 3-point line. He was technically 1 of 10, but the one was a deep two that he meant to be a three, but his right foot was on the line. So really, he was 0 of 9
Yeah, a
inside.
couple were like tip-ins, so that's okay. But yeah, even then, it was like, at worst, it was like 0 of 8 or 0 of 7, which is
Right, I
not
mean,
good.
we've talked about this four shows in a row now. Like, are we concerned about Kevin Love's lack of interior scoring?
So just to be honest with you, I'm not that concerned because the way Hawks have made their money and the way they've essentially, fielded a second best defense in the league is that they really, really crowd the paint. And they help off of guys aggressively, especially Paul Millsap and Al Horford. So, I mean, these guys were crowding him. I remember maybe a couple of layups that he missed that were kind of easy that he should have made, but over the span of the game, I think most of them were actually where Al Horford was helping aggressively, and there were two or three guys near him, so he couldn't actually get a layup properly.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. First, to add on a little bit to your point, yeah, so Paul Millsap and Al Horford, the Hawks power forward and center, I think we're both in the top 15 in the NBA in blocks this season. Their style is definitely to have sort of careful interior defense.
Very good
So,
interior defense.
yeah,
And they help
and.
off. That's why we got these open threes, right? Because they were helping so
Right,
aggressively.
right, 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 right. So, yeah, that's the sort of theory, and it was sort of validated by the way that the Cavs played this series, which is just bombs away from outside because they're so good inside. And I agree that that sort of style makes it so that it's tough for Kevin Love to score inside. The only thing is, I think that's probably like 70% of it. 30% of it is I think Kevin Love's a little bit in his head now. Normally he does this move where he starts on the left block and he takes a couple dribbles and he tries to get the right-handed hook shot. And if he can't, he does the counter move where he does sort of a step back jumper. And sometimes he tries to bank it in. That's his like sort of bread and butter interior move. Start on the left block, go for the right hook, counter move is the step back jumper. And he didn't even really execute that much this series. Like it's. And maybe that explains like his low percentage. He was doing things he was uncomfortable with. But
Yeah, I think they were just bad interior matchups for him, but they were
yeah.
really good matchups for him on the outside, which is why he just bombed away from three, right?
Right.
He's been over 40% from three in this series, so I
Right.
mean that's the good part about versatility, right? If something's not working, you take what they give you essentially.
Right. All right, let's
And
move on. Well, go ahead. I was going to move
just
on
to
to LeBron,
reiterate,
but go ahead.
over his career, he's been 60% from 0 to 3 feet, so this is definitely
Anomalous.
probably mostly because of the way they're defending him.
Yeah. Well, the counter theory would be like, yeah, there's something going on psychologically because he seems fine physically. And yeah, I'm like 2 out of 10 concerned that that's what's going on. But I think that like one good game and that would take me back down to 0 out of 10 concern. It's just
Yeah.
seeing it happen like 4 times in a row is a little bit discouraging. But at
It
least
should
he's
be
being
easier next
aggressive.
series, especially if they don't have JV.
Right, especially if yeah, Valanciunas or Whiteside don't play. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so let's move on to LeBron here. So LeBron had a sort of bizarre game tonight. He had 21 points, he had 10 rebounds, he had 9 assists. So for those counting at home, that's one assist shy of a triple double. He had 6 turnovers. He was only 10 of 23 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3. He missed all 3 of his free throws. He was blocked 4 times, including a sort of sequence. I don't remember, maybe end of the third, early fourth. You remember the sequence I'm talking about? He was under the hoop, and it might have been actually late fourth. He tried to lay it in, he got blocked. He tried to lay it in again, he got blocked again. And then he got around to the other side, and he. Or maybe the Cavs got the ball. Oh, yeah. And then it got knocked out of bounds. The Cavs got the ball back after official review. And then
Yeah, then
he went
after
up. It
timeout.
didn't go in again. It was blocked again, but it was goaltending this time. But look, it went in, but like nevertheless, like that was extremely close to being another block. And my comment to you on Instant Messenger at the time was, I feel like a younger LeBron would have gotten one of those. Do you think that I have just sort of some bias there, or what did you think about that sequence?
I think you would have gotten the first one. I think the second and the third one were just unlucky tips that didn't go in.
Yeah,
But yeah, I think you probably would
he
have
was
gotten the first
quintuple
one.
team down there. They weren't
Yeah.
easy.
That's something they're really good at inside. That's why the Cavs have been shooting better
Yeah.
from three than two.
Yeah, you're right. That again,
I mean,
that's
this is
like
second
sort of
best
their
defense in
interior
the league. You have to
defense.
imagine that. They have to be good at something.
Right. Yeah, maybe I'm just being greedy here.
No, I think
But
you're right. I think you would have made the first one a younger LeBron. But
yeah.
I think the second and third, those tip-ins were just sort of random noise that just kind of makes us think that they should have gotten, but they didn't.
Yeah.
But either way, he got the layup on the second chance, so.
Did you count his jumpers tonight?
I did, yeah. I have some interesting things there, actually. So
Okay.
something I noticed that in the first half, he was balanced on most of his shots, but then as the third end of third and beginning of fourth rolled around, he was off balance on all the shots. I think as the game wore on, he got more and more lazy with his jumper.
Could be. So, just to remind the listeners, there was a report done by a shooting expert. I think it was on ESPN about a week ago, where he was talking about how LeBron has a tendency to land on just his left leg, and he kicks out his right foot. And when he lands off balance like that, his make percentage is a lot lower compared to when he lands sort of balanced on both feet. So, Arnav and I have been counting them for the last three games, and look, there's a sample size bias or sample size issue here, but so far we've sort of corroborated what that report showed. I had him taking six jumpers, seven jumpers tonight. How many did you have him?
Seven.
Okay, I had him. So I had two of four off balance, one of two on balance, and then he was one of one on this one that I feel like you're going to say was on balance, but I think it was off.
Wait,
But
so I have
what do you
him
have?
three balance jumpers and four unbalanced jumpers, off balance jumpers, and he made two of the three that were balanced, and he made one of the off balance, two of the off balanced, and missed the other three.
Right.
So two of five off balanced and one and two of two unbalanced.
Yeah. All right, fine. I'll call that one that I thought was off balance on balance, which does make him two of two and two of five, just for the sake of argument here. And I'd also noticed that, yeah, he was more on balanced. Yeah, I mean, the two on balance makes came in the first half.
Right, exactly.
And so, look, we have a sample size issue here. But yeah, I mean, look, somebody should tweet Damon Jones, who's the Cavs shooting coach, quote unquote shooting coach, by the way. But yes, and tell him, like, look, just tell him to, get that balance right, and maybe it could make a big difference.
One thing I want to note here, though, is that you have to be able to separate how he's landing and from the toughness of the shot, because the shots he took in the second half were much tougher than the shots he took in the first half. So maybe he had to land on both feet, and that's
Right.
why he missed them.
Right.
Because the wide open one he got in the first half, he was a nice, he did his rhythm dribble, got a nice shot, made it, and then in the end he had that weird shot with a guy draped all over him, and then he had to jump up, shoot from 4 feet behind the line. Can't really expect him to be balanced on that one, right?
Well,
So I think it's more about
yeah.
the shot selection than about the actual.
Yeah.
It's easier to be balanced when you're making a wide open shot than it is with a guy draped all over you.
That's a fair point, right? Like, Dirk Nowitzki has that shot where he's like stepping back,
But
and
that's
is
his
off
money game,
balance.
right?
Yeah, no, I mean he's outstanding at it. LeBron isn't. But yeah, there's a shot quality aspect here that's a little bit hard to add to the measurements. We can just, we can only do so much. But yeah, it would be nice to see him get his balance a little bit better. I wanted to talk about Tristan Thompson a little bit and the free throws. So they only did it once tonight, where it is the Hawks fouled Tristan Thompson off the ball before it was inbound, and before the Hawks were in the penalty. That's a strategy. I'm not sure I've seen that even in games with DeAndre Jordan and Andre Drummond, the fouling before you're in the penalty. Have you?
Yeah, I have before.
Okay. You watch a
I
lot
think they
more
did it
games
last
outside of
year.
the Cavs than I do.
Yeah, I've seen it
But
before.
okay. It's an interesting strategy, fouling before you're in the penalty, because you have to, yeah, you're like
Yeah, as
creating a
long as it's like
situation where
even
you're in the
before the ball
penalty
is
center.
inbounded, it can go to the free throw line.
Right, but it still counts as a team foul, and now your team gets in the penalty sooner, which ostensibly is a bad thing.
I think they just wanted the ball. and didn't really care about that.
So Tristan went 1 of 2 again. It'll be interesting to see if the Raptors or Heat continue doing the.
I was glad somebody did it because it did happen in the finals last year. And remember that game one against the Warriors? And
Yeah, I remember that game.
yeah, and then Kerr started fouling him. I remember they came back into the game because of that, basically. So I was not happy with how he handled it last year because he missed all of them. But as long as he keeps making it 50%, I think coaches will have to at least think twice before they foul him.
Yeah, I mean, I think they went six times. They did it 6 times in the last game. They did it only once tonight. They did it 3 or 4 times in game two. It's interesting. I don't know how you would practice for this. Like maybe in practice, like every 12 minutes, you're like, "Hey, Tristan, shoot 2 free throws," just to like try to get him in that style. But I don't know if that's any different than like getting fouled every once in a while, when taking shots. I don't know.
Yeah, like I don't think today's was anything, right? Today's was just a normal, it could have been a normal foul at any given time. But I think the problem, though, is that if it happens continuously, sometimes these guys get in their own head and it starts messing with their rhythm and their free throw stroke. So that's what I'm worried about, basically.
Yeah, I would like to see. Well, whatever. I mean, I'm sure they're going to do whatever they can to, make Tristan feel a little bit comfortable with that. And he's not going to suddenly become a 75% free throw shooter over the next 8 days. So, yeah, just have to tolerate it and try and manage it as best as possible.
One thing I really liked today was how the Cavs handle the traps, because this is also something I wanted to see. It happened last game, but the Cavs didn't handle it that well because they kept using Tristan Thompson as a screener, and then every time they pass out of the trap, Thompson would get the ball, like maybe at the 3-point line, then he would try to drive it and then either get fouled or get blocked or miss it or like have a really sloppy pass to the corner. But today they used Love as the screener, which led to like all these easy pick and pops, and Love got, like I think I mentioned before, four easy threes from it, and he made all of them. So
Yeah, that play where it's almost like a sliding screen that ends up with Love in a corner. I can't believe how effectively that worked.
the cool part was that they made an adjustment today that instead of Love just popping out a few feet away from LeBron, he popped out all the way to the corner, which makes it harder for the guy who's trapping to close out all the way on Love. So that's why all those corner threes were so open.
Yeah, exactly. The last game, the screener, the guy setting the pick would sort of go to like right next to the like where the break begins and the end of the corner three area is. But tonight, or this afternoon, Kevin Love, yeah, he kept going like deep into that corner, which creates bigger separation between the pick guy and the roll guy. And yeah, I mean
Right.
it worked fabulously. You could see like on Cephalosha's face, like he's like, "Man, I don't know which to do here." And he yeah, they just kept getting burned. It was tough.
So that's kind of the advantage of having Kyrie instead of Dele bring up the ball, because now that Kyrie's been shooting lights out, guys are so scared of him taking them off the dribble that they're just trying to trap him. I think that's why Dele hasn't played a lot of minutes this series, because you saw as soon as Dele got the ball inbounded to him, Schroeder would be pressuring him every single second, and it even caused like a backcourt violation once, almost close to a backcourt violation once.
I noticed that one. Yeah, Dele came
It
up the
was
left
barely
side.
he got it out when it was like 16 seconds left.
It was close. The upside of that is full court pressing is really tiring for the defense. And if they blow it, it opens up a situation where you can get a good cutter or something. But yeah, that one was close. Dele only played 15 minutes again tonight.
I thought today it wasn't egregious or anything. I was okay with his minutes. I didn't
Yeah,
think he was.
Irving played well.
Irving was
Irving,
pretty good.
yeah, he played 42 minutes, 20 seconds. He was 8 of 16, 21 points, 8 assists, 2 turnovers, and he was +7. Like, this was a
The only
great
stretch
Kyrie
of
Irving game.
Irving's game, I think I mentioned this to you before, the only stretch of Irving's game that I wasn't happy about today was that stretch at the beginning of the fourth, where Irving, I think he caused two turnovers, right? I think he over-dribbled it twice. The thing with Irving is that he is a very careful pick-and-roll player. So he's watching for the screen and he's trying to find some separation. And sometimes if the defense plays it really well, he won't get any separation, but he'll still try to find it. So I think he kind of boxes himself into that situation too much, and then he's left with like 5 seconds, and then you know he has to do his dribble around, jack up a shot, go behind the back or something, which can cause a turnover.
Yeah, he's a little bit slow to initiate sometimes, so somebody will come and set a screen and he'll decide he doesn't like it, so then somebody else will come up and set another screen and then he'll take that one. But in the meantime, 5-6 seconds have come off the clock, and so yeah, there's just not he needs to make a decision quickly or force something, and it's not
exactly
practical. He'll get better. And I think he has gotten better sort of, I mean, really in the last 3 weeks. It's interesting. I remember us talking sort of in the last month leading up to the playoffs, even on this show, about like, well, we're running out of time here for Irving to get back sort of to his previous offensive form. But
I think he's been there.
Yeah, we have a sample size issue here again. But in the 8 games so far in the playoffs, he's looked sort of like on offense anyway, like the Irving of old.
He's been shooting over 50% from three.
Yeah, you want to share that tweet, or was it? I don't know where you found that today, but talking about 3-point percentage through first, what was it? First 20 playoff games or something?
Yeah, he was 49%. Ray Allen was like 40 something, if I remember.
Yeah, these were best all time through 20 playoff games. Number one was Kyrie Irving. Number two was Ray Allen, and three. I don't know if three was even three, but
no, it wasn't three. Kyrie was 49.5% through his first 20 playoff games. Ray Allen was 45.2%, and Steph Curry was 38.6%.
Well,
but Steph kind of peaked late, so it's hard. It's a little disingenuous to use his first 20 games.
I love disingenuous things that make Cavs players look better. Yeah, I would still take Curry over Irving. Just for those wondering.
But yeah.
No, I think there are some weirdos that wouldn't, but yeah. Let's see. Anything else of note in the box score tonight? Channing Frye wasn't great. He was minus 17. He had 8 points. He was 2 of 4 from 3, 3 of 6 overall. He struggled defensively tonight.
He was bad defensively today. I think.
I like him at this sort of 19, 20 minute level. I think that's the right level. I don't think, if I don't see Mozgov again until he's not a Cavalier, that would be fine. And I think Lou is now fully on board with that as well, which is great.
I mean, I wish we could have Mozgov from last year, right? Because we do need rim protection in certain situations. And now he's just so unplayable that we can't even put him in.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
I know, I'm just saying I wish we had
him. I mean, I hope they don't even try to see if he's...
No, I don't think they should try. I'm just saying if he was as good as last year,
yeah,
he'd be playing more minutes.
Yeah, he would. It would be nice to have sort of 15 for Frye and 15 for Mozgov. But yeah, as it stands, I would rather Love and Thompson get more minutes and Frye sort of be the backup 4 or 5 guy.
I wasn't happy with his rotations in the fourth quarter. I thought he waited way too long to get LeBron in. And then he also ran that stupid...
Tyronn Lue's rotations.
Tyronn
Lue's rotations, yeah.
Yeah. Lue's rotations. I thought he ran that stupid Kyrie plus bench lineup again. It worked in the regular season. It has not worked in the playoffs. I think it worked last game because we were just banging away from three, so it's okay. But most games, LeBron plus bench is way better than Kyrie plus bench.
Right.
So yeah, I think if you're going to play the bench unit, play with LeBron.
Yeah, the Cavs, this game was an extremely close game, and there was a stretch for the first 4 minutes of the fourth quarter where LeBron James, Kevin Love, and J.R. Smith were all on the bench. And the Cavs were lucky to sort of tread water during that stretch. I think I tweeted this even. I mean, I've been advocating for LeBron James to get fewer minutes basically since he returned to Cleveland. But yeah, this is the playoffs now. Like, if you have a chance to close out a NBA playoff game, it's worth playing LeBron an extra 90 seconds in order to increase your win probability by 5%. And I was frustrated that...
How long it took to bring him back.
Yeah, I was frustrated by that. I think there was a little bit of a narrative after last game. I think there was an article in the Plain Dealer about this. We actually mentioned it on the last show. Tyronn Lue sort of tempted fate and didn't bring LeBron in until a little bit longer than... He gave him a little bit of a longer rest than he normally would in the fourth, and it worked out. And, you know, look, the result, you know, maybe the ends justify the means. It worked out again tonight. But yeah, I'm okay with LeBron James playing 41 minutes a game and more if necessary. He played 37:52 tonight, and we won by 1 point. Like, that's a little bit too risky of a razor's edge, in my opinion.
And he had the chance. There were timeouts. There were two timeouts called in
yes.
a row.
Yes.
A minute apart. I remember specifically.
Yep. You know, people were going nuts about this on Twitter. Like I think it was a mistake by Lou, and I think that's what I think most people agree with that. It's gonna it because we won, it you know,
it's gonna be overlooked.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, hopefully it's not overlooked going forward.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna be a problem like later on, cuz you know, he knows that those series are so tough. I think he got a little lax. He thought we were gonna be able to close out much easier. And the Hawks weren't going to put up much of a fight, but they didn't. So,
right. Yeah, I didn't have. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I noticed about Lou tonight. Nothing stuck out to me, or at least I can't think of anything. What about you?
The after timeout plays were pretty good, I thought. Mm. Most of the times we called the timeout, we got an open basket after that.
Yeah.
Except for that last possession with LeBron, where I think he kind of hijacked it again, but whatever.
I've been wondering about after timeout plays for a while. Couldn't a team, like, look, we're going to have 8 days off here in all likelihood. Couldn't the Cavs, like, come up with 10 ringer plays and, like, deploy them?
I mean, they have them.
So then why are after timeout plays a thing?
What do you mean 10 ringer plays?
Like, can't they just, like, figure out 10 plays that, like, they think work really well and then, like, spread it out over the course of a game and use them?
Oh, teams take them away, right? I mean, you get your first option usually gets.
Yeah,
taken
but now
away.
They have now they have 8 days off. Like they could learn one play a day, right? And they're you know.
I mean,
like,
I think
okay,
they
we're
going
to do four right now. We're going to do two right now. I don't know.
I think it's easier said than done. I think he needs a full, like a practice camp or something.
Yeah, probably.
Because he never got that right. Only Vlad got that.
Right. And even that offseason was sort of weird.
Because like Tristan wasn't signed.
Yeah, Tristan didn't show
things.
Up. And, you know,
Love was injured. Kyrie was
hurt.
Injured.
Right. Yeah, Kyrie. Yeah, Love and Kyrie didn't play like most of the preseason. All right. Well, so we move on. Like we said, the Raptors and Heat are... they actually haven't played Game 4. They play Game 4 tomorrow. And yeah, that'll be an interesting series. I'm going to watch the rest of that series. And it looks like both those guys might be without their starting centers. This shapes up well for the Cavs. I think... Well, who do you prefer? Well, I'll say who I prefer first. I would rather play the Heat.
I would rather play the Heat without Hassan Whiteside, yes. I think they don't have the center depth after that to pretty much do anything. Because their other centers are Udonis Haslem, who's way past his prime.
Right, Grandpa Haslem.
Josh McRoberts and Amari Stoudemire. Pretty much all of them are past their prime, so.
Yeah, two of them are past their prime, and one of them never had one, so. I mean, that's definitely right. I mean, I like that about that. The Raptors, I worry, have another gear in them. Like, Lowry finally had a good game last game, but, I mean, look, he was.
That's their gear. DeRozan's horrible. I've been criticizing him on Twitter. Because
well,
he sucks. He's just
he can't shoot.
He can't do anything.
Right.
He doesn't
he
have a.
He can drive a little bit. He can draw free throws, but he's no James Harden.
And not anymore, right? Because they aren't calling it on him, and everyone's locked in now, so no one's actually following him anymore.
Right.
He hasn't been to the free throw line in a while.
Right. Nevertheless, Lowry is. I mean, Lowry is.
Lowry's the only one. He's actually really good.
He's hands down the second best player in the East, right? I mean, his RPM is second best, but he's 6 feet tall, so like his actual. Contribution is probably higher.
He was in the regular season, but he has not played like that until this game, this last game.
He hasn't, but even with the first round series, he's still number 7 in the NBA in RPM, in between Westbrook and Durant, just to level set that a little bit. He's good. He just hasn't played very well yet, but you could imagine him. I mean, we saw it in some of the games in the regular season this year when the Cavs played him. That guy can play.
Yeah, he dropped 30 on us, right? 30.
Yeah,
seven.
And I don't really
40. I don't remember, but it was pretty high.
I'm not excited about watching Irving try to guard Lowry for 6 games like that. That doesn't sound fun.
That said, even with him going off last game, I watched that game. They have not been able to get any good shots. I mean, that was still a very close game with the Heat, and their offensive rating has been like 90 something. It's been worse than a 76ers offensive rating during the regular season. So I'm not too worried about. Worried about them.
Yeah. I was much more worried about them before the playoffs started. And
I think DeRozan
it was
just
sort
being
of like
exposed is a good thing.
Yeah, it could be. I wasn't I was not buying into the notion that the Raptors were sort of playoff chokers and they had like sort of a different, they were a different team in the playoffs, but it's sort of hard to argue that now. I mean, now it's just sort of obviously true. They
I
really
think
struggle in the playoffs.
DeRozan's game is just not meant for the postseason because he's nowhere as good as drawing fouls as James Harden. So teams are very good at not fouling him in the postseason, and that's like 50% of his game, you know? And the other 50% is long twos, which are already very inefficient, so.
Right. Yeah, I mean I just don't have a strong opinion on this because I haven't been watching them. I will now and I'll form one. But that could be right. It could be that their effective SRS is lower because DeRozan's skill set is sort of anti-synergistic with the way that playoff games are called. I'm not sure.
And then I thought, just from watching them in the regular season and in the postseason, I thought there was another gear for JV, and he's kind of taken that. He was excellent in this series and even in the past series. So he, I thought, bumped up their effective SRS. But if he's out, that doesn't matter, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think Whiteside might be a little bit more important to the Heat than Valanciunas is
No,
to
I
the
agree
Raptors,
because
but I'm
they
not
have the
sure.
center depth.
Yeah,
Because
they're
they can
both
play
important.
Bismack Biyombo, who's much better than any of the centers that the Heat have.
We should probably mention right now how lucky the Cavs have been with their health the last month or so. I mean, we were
Okay.
incredibly lucky, unlucky last year. We've been almost as lucky this year as we were unlucky last year. I
You
mean,
should
just nothing.
knock on something.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, the Cavs have been, I mean, everybody's healthy. It's great. They're going to get 8 games here of practice where they can, sort of develop some more synergy. It's really good. Nobody's
I was
even
worried
tweaked
about an
anything.
injury in this game again. I'm always worried about it in closeout games because of that Boston series
Well, you're
last year.
traumatized because you were at that
I was
Boston
actually at the
game.
game, yeah.
Yeah. You're like, oh, this is what happens now. Somebody gets knocked out forever. Yeah, I mean, that game will forever be sort of a part of my sports memory. But closeout games are bizarre. I mean, I didn't think the Hawks were trying tonight, but they still didn't look as intense as I think is
Yeah.
needed to beat us.
LeBron was slipping again. I don't know what's up with that. He slipped like twice today.
Yeah, he did.
Or maybe thrice, if I remember correctly. One
Maybe
of
there's
them was
something
on that.
wrong with like the LeBron 22s or whatever pair of
Yeah.
Nikes he's wearing these days.
Something's up with that. Or maybe then something's up with the Hawks arena. I don't know.
They do play hockey there, but I think the Atlanta team. Wait, is there an Atlanta NHL team or did they move?
No.
I'm not sure. Yeah,
Anyway.
they're gone. They don't actually have a hockey team anymore. But that is a hockey arena, so they do sometimes put ice down. But yeah, I mean the Thrashers obviously aren't in the playoffs since they don't even exist anymore. So, yeah, I mean I don't know. I think maybe there's something in LeBron's game that's changed so that he's more slip prone, or maybe it's just random noise. I think it's
Yeah, he
random
looked a
noise.
little tired today, I thought. I think it was maybe the fact that they've only had one game off or one day off between these games.
Could be.
And he's played, I think, 4 games in the last six or 7 days or something, so.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. He's going to get a good long rest now, though, and
Yeah.
hopefully at some point, adrenaline will take over. He actually said it in his post-game interview with Lisa Salters tonight. He was like, Lisa Salters asked him why was this game so tough, and he was like, look, they were down 3-0 and they had a bunch of intensity. It's a little bit tough for us to sort of match that intensity.
Yeah.
I'm summarizing the quote. But he said basically, effectively that, and he's right. It's hard to get adrenaline going when you're not actually threatened, and so I expect him to not look fatigued when it matters.
Yeah, I agree with that. So he had 6 turnovers again, which is kind of concerning, but I thought, okay, so if I remember correctly, a couple of them were just, he slipped again. A few of them were bad passes, but I thought a couple of them were miscommunication between him and someone else, where he would send the pass to Love and then Love wouldn't be in the right spot, or he sent the pass to JR and JR was kind of off. Did you feel that
Yeah,
way?
I think that's right. JR had a weird game in general, so maybe,
I think he went
yeah.
out last night, to be honest with you. He looked
Maybe.
like it today.
Maybe. Yeah, he took only 4 shots tonight, all threes. He made one of them.
You remember that heat check he took? So Kevin Love was shooting lights out,
Well,
and then
okay, hold
JR
on.
takes a heat check.
Yeah, so I think JR took 2 shots in the first half. He was one of two. And then you could tell coming out of the break at halftime, Tyronn Lue had said, "Dude, shoot." Because like I think it wasn't the first possession, but the second possession he took sort of a weird three, and then he took another. That are you talking about the one from the corner?
Yeah, the really weird corner one where he just.
Yeah, he just hooked it up, and then it bounced
Yeah.
off the rim and then back behind the backboard. Yeah, that was not that. Obviously, that was a bad shot. Some certain percentage of JR shots are always bad. It's just sometimes they go in, but they didn't go in tonight, and he looked sort of disengaged. Yeah, maybe he went out. I don't know.
But you can imagine
I'm
them
not concerned
realizing
yet.
how much he was killing them and actually lock into him better. So
Right.
that's probably part of it, right?
I mean, Korver did a whole lot of nothing again tonight. He played 24 minutes. He was 1 of 4 from the field. Yeah, I don't know. Bazemore didn't do much. He was 5 of 12, 1 of 7 from three.
So Kevin Love is now 12-0 in the playoffs, which is,
Does that
I think, the second best
you think that's
ever.
ca you think that's causal?
No, but you know.
Kevin Love playing in a game guaranteed win.
Hopefully.
If that's true, we should just play him 1 second to make sure he doesn't get injured.
Yeah. Do you think Cavs can go 16-0? Or so sorry, not 16-0,
What?
12-0 before the finals?
Oh. Yeah, I don't think they can go 16-0. I
No,
think they're more
I'm
likely
12
to
and
go
sorry.
I think they're more likely to go 12-4 than I think they are to go 16-0. Let's see. I think they could go 12-0. Yeah. I
I
don't
think
think
I would
it's
call the
likely,
next
but
series a game.
I would say assuming Valanciunas and Whiteside are both hurt, or either or one or the other is hurt, and the one that's hurt is the team we're playing, I would give the Cavs like a 30% chance at a sweep, so maybe 25.
Yeah, I still see them dropping one game. Because at some point, I mean, we got a little lucky tonight, right? If they had made some of those shots, or Cavs had missed another shot or something, at some point that's going to catch up, so.
Yeah, well, and look, we are kryptonite to the Hawks. I mean, we are the rock to their scissors, and we still almost lost two games, right? So I think my expectation would be for any series, and I think the numbers would bear this out. My expectation would be it would go six, with some upside for it to go 4 or 5, and not much downside for it to go 7. But my baseline expectation would be for it to go 6.
So I think as long as you're between 1 and 3 in SRS points above another team, you're
Yeah.
likely to be a U in 5. And then if it's
Interesting.
less than 1, then it's likely to go 7. And if it's more than 3, if I remember correctly, you're more likely for a sweep than a 5-game series.
Interesting. Yeah, I have a model to that basically can give us the correct answer to this. I'll look that up, and then when we do our
So I think
series
there's a range,
preview,
yeah. I
I'll
think
bring it up.
figure out that range, yeah.
Yeah, I'll figure out what the ranges are, and then when we do our series preview, I'll bring it up. You have anything else you wanted to mention?
Do you think the 3-point shooting will normalize at some point?
I think their make rate will normalize. I think their make okay. Yes, I think their make rate will normalize. I hope their take rate stays the same. I think this is the style the Cavs need to win the finals.
But if they're making it at 38%, do you really want them shooting, whatever, 35, 37 threes?
Yes. They
Okay.
should shoot infinity if they can make 38% reliably.
That would be 114 offensive rating, so yeah. That's pretty good. Because right now their offensive rating is like 118 or 120 or something, and that's kind of ridiculous.
Obviously I would be happy with whatever the breakdown is if they can maintain that rate. But I don't think I don't, I mean, what's their make rate for the first 8 games? It's like 50% or something insane, right?
49 before this game and probably went down because they were
Okay, they shot
43%.
43 tonight, all right, 48%. I mean, that's 10% higher than their season average, and their season average was built on probably taking more open threes. My hope is that the Cavs have figured out something here that is better at getting them open threes. That's why they're taking more. It's not just that they're taking more and they are commensurately worse. I
The
feel.
numbers bear this out. So they're actually taking more open threes than they were in the
Yeah,
regular seasons.
they're taking more because and they're more open, right? So it's two good things. Yeah, I mean, I would like to see. Yeah, maybe they can maintain a higher make rate as well. I don't know. I mean, it just seems so greedy to even hope for that.
Yeah. I think as long as they can average at least 13 or 14 threes a game at a good percentage, I'll be happy with that.
Yeah, me too. I think their defense has some upside. I think they've fallen into some bad habits.
They got into some pretty bad habits, especially in that first quarter. They were just not even rotating.
Right.
They were missing guys in transition. So every time they miss someone in transition, what happens is you get a mismatch. So at one point, Dele was on Millsap. What is he gonna
Oh,
do? Like, right?
right.
Millsap's way bigger than he. He can
Yeah,
shoot over him. He can take him to the post.
he could try clapping his hands or shouting something in his ear, but that's about it. Yeah, that's not a good matchup.
Just bad transition D today, I thought. At least for the first quarter and a half, but they definitely tightened up in the third and the fourth quarter, which was good to
Right. I
see.
mean, we've talked about this before. We know they're capable of better defense because we've seen it. It's just they don't seem to bring it until it
When they
actually
need to.
matters. Yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of playing
Frustrating.
with fire here with the turn it on when we can, which is
Right.
okay for now. I think it's fine for the Eastern Conference too, but definitely cannot pull that crap in the finals.
I'm going to ask you a question that I asked you on IM today, but just for the listeners. So, would you rather, let's say the Cavs lost tonight, would you rather the Cavs have a fifth game where they win by 35 and everything is clicking and everything looks good doing it? Or would you rather the Cavs have sort of 2 extra days of rest and practice? Like, which do you think increases the team's effective strength more?
Rest and practice because I don't believe in momentum and I don't think it's a thing. You have momentum until you lose it, and then everyone's like, oh, they just lost momentum. That's because
Right.
momentum isn't really a thing.
Right.
And it's just normal variance that people mistake to be momentum.
Yeah, I do think that. So I agree with you. I agree that rest and practice is the correct choice here. And I would aggressively argue with anyone who thought the other. I think you could make an argument that if you play a game where you have a style that works really well, winning by such a comfortable margin helps reinforce those patterns in a way that practice might not as much.
Right.
But, I think that's a flimsy argument. I'm just saying that that's something somebody might say.
Yeah, I agree.
So, well, you have any other bullet points you want to discuss?
No, I thought it was a pretty fun series to watch, especially from 3-point land. I'm
Yeah,
pretty sure
it
they
was.
ended up with more threes than twos, but I'm gonna have to check that again.
I know that at some point in the third quarter they had like three more threes than two, and then I didn't keep count going forward, but
Yeah, it's possibly they didn't because they actually didn't make too many threes down the stretch today,
right,
so.
exactly. There has never been a series where a team made more threes than twos. So if the Cavs did it, and I think they were, if they didn't, they were very close. Yeah, that would be a record, or I don't know if record's the right thing. It would be a new thing that happened.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, I thought it was a great series. It was really fun to watch. It was pretty comfortable to watch, just because the Cavs won all four games and they never got down by a bunch. There were never moments where I was sort of screaming at the television. I think it's going to get tougher going forward, but if they can pull them out, that makes it a little bit more fun.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's going to be tougher in the next round. I think it'll be equally as tough, and maybe we won't get as lucky with the 3-point shot, so we'll probably drop a game. But I think the only time we'll see much higher quality basketball or a much higher quality opponent is going to be in the finals.
Yeah, I mean, by RPM, the Hawks are the second best team in the conference, and the Raptors, sorry, the third best team in the conference. The Raptors are the second best, but they're pretty close to the Hawks, and the Raptors are not playing well, plus they may not have Valanciunas. So
Exactly.
I do think that we match up against the Hawks better, but we match up well against the Raptors too. But I think it's a little bit better against the Hawks. The Heat are just a significantly worse team. We have our RPM, our SRS is four higher than theirs, so. And then without Whiteside, that it's probably more like 4.5, 5 higher. So, yeah, I think you may be right. You may be right that we won't really struggle until we get to the finals. And yeah, hopefully you are. In any case, we will do a season preview episode probably sometime after our opponent has decided.
Right.
And so this has been episode 23 of Cavalytics, LeBron's number. You can email us at cavalyticsnba@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at cavalyticsnba. And we will get back to you shortly before the next series. Go Cavs.